Now, about the subject of this evening's talk, I thought I should better say something about blessings. Baba has been very often saying, you should get blessings. And at the end of every murli, we have Baba's blessings. Every BK, every sister and brother wants Baba's blessings. And therefore I thought this would perhaps be the subject which you would like me to share with you. And it is very essential, I suppose, to get Baba's blessings. You just consider a human being whose hands are tied, his legs also are tied. Now he cannot free himself, cannot liberate himself. Someone else is required to liberate that person. So also, we are slaves to our sanskaras. We are tied by means of our past karmic account. And there are many shackles. Some of them we may be able to break, but not all of them. So someone is required to set us free, at least to some extent. The rest of the effort may be performed by us, but initially and after some time, some effort, some guidance, some kind of protection, some kind of help is required. Divine intervention is required, even in our spiritual efforts, so that we can be finally liberated. Therefore, in Bhakti Marg, they say that by our own efforts, we cannot liberate ourselves. And they say, we want Guru Kripa, that the grace of the Guru. But in this case, in the path of knowledge, we should say that Baba's blessings are required. Without His blessings, we cannot attain our final stage. However best we may try, all our strenuous efforts, however sincerely made, they cannot finally liberate us. This is my personal experience. Unless and until He comes to our help, again and again, and we are small children, we are not almighty, Maya has got great power, the temptress, the engendress, Maya, it very much beguiles us, it dissuades us in a very subtle way, in many subtle ways, from our path. Sometimes without our knowing that we are being misguided by Maya, by her subtle and royal ways. Baba says, some of the ways of Maya are very royal. And they really are. And we think we are wise. What we are doing is correct. But actually, what we may be doing may be utterly wrong. So, we do not even understand, we do not even realize that we are being misled, misguided. So at some such timings, unless and until Baba comes to our help, I think the liberation is not possible. And what ultimately is the object of blessings? In what way the blessings help us? What is the nature of blessings? Let us first of all be clear about the objective of our being blessed by Baba. We very often say this person is blessed by God, gifted by God. So what do we exactly mean? Blessed by God, what are the signs which show that we are blessed or we are not blessed? Someone is blessed or not blessed? I think one of the objects of being blessed is our elevation, spiritual elevation. If we want to be spiritually elevated, uplifted, enlightened, illumined, you can say, and we want to attain our final shining stage, the brilliant stage, that is one of the purposes of being blessed. Baba has to bless us. And the second is, there are certain talents, certain abilities, certain qualities certain faculties which do not flower unless and until Baba blesses us. We have no doubt divine potential, but in order that that potential may fully grow, flower up, His grace is required, His kindness is required, His mercy is required, and I would say combining them all, that is, blessings are required. Blessings are not that He is expecting something from us. He is giving and giving with the total spirit of giving. Someone says that without reason He gives us. There is no cause for His giving. But whatever it may be, it is an act of giving by God. And God will not give you small things. If a beggar goes to a king and asks him for some help, some monetary help, then the king is supposed not to give him a few small coins, but to give him in a big way. Being the king, His act is supposed to be royal, majestic. So also when God gives us, He gives us so much. So much He gives us. And that is not for a small period. That is for a very long period. It lasts for a very long period. There is an example for instance, of Sudama going to Krishna with some small broken rice and Krishna blessing him with that beautiful big golden palace. So, this kind of act of grace on God, be gracious on me, O my Lord, this is how the bhaktas pray. So, for our illumination, our elevation, our enlightenment, and for flowering of our talents, this blessing is required. And also so that we may become better instruments of service. For this also, Baba's blessings are required, that we may be able to glorify Him and purify others. This thing cannot be done by human being, by one's own thoughts, own efforts, but God's power has to be added to it. Unless and until His hand is there, His blessings are there, we are not going to be very much successful in this attempt. So in the attempt to elevate others, also God's blessings are required. Now, Baba's knowledge, the wisdom which He has given us, will you call it knowledge or wisdom? Even if it is in the beginning what we call knowledge, it ultimately changes into wisdom. The more we become mature, experienced, we realize, we understand, after using it, practicing it, we really assess its value and we become wiser. So this knowledge takes the form of wisdom, because it is not merely that laukic knowledge, worldly knowledge, knowledge of transitory things, but knowledge which is super mundane, less mundane, and it is with purity of mind. That is what is more important, because there cannot be wisdom without purity. Some people call some knowledgeable people wise people. I think it is misuse of the term. They are not wise people because they commit many mistakes. The worldly knowledge does not make us wise. It makes us worldly wise. Only worldly wise. But if we want to become really full-fledged wise, we can become only when there is purity of heart. Our sincerity, our honesty, our love for God, our spirit of surrender to Him, and above them all, our purity. That is what makes us wise. Then only we do not commit mistakes. So, Baba has given us knowledge. He has given us that beautiful gift of yoga, how we can be in union or communion with Him. He has told us the path of virtue, how we can have virtues and values in our life, and how we can use all our belongings, maybe in terms of time, money, energy, for the service of human being, giving up wholly or partly our selfishness and being of use to the whole world, the brotherhood of humankind. So these are his initial blessings. Without this blessing, we could not be in knowledge. Let us realize, so many people have come to centers. They have taken 1 week course. They have been in this knowledge for some time. And later on they left. So even their coming to knowledge was initially some kind of a blessing by God on them, which they did not realize. Those who realized, they sustain, they survive. If you just ask me who are the people who have been here for so many years and how they go on making progress, I think they are the people who realize that it is God's will that they have come. It is His help which has brought them here. Without His help, we will not be able to understand the significance of the knowledge. On the other hand, we may even laugh at it. The world cycle is of 5,000 years. God is not omnipresent. And there is something, some place, some space, which we may call Paramdham, far, far away. And God is there. And all these things, they laugh at it. But someone who realizes that it is God's gift to me, it is someone who is the Supreme Soul who is giving this knowledge, some divine being who is giving us the perfect truth, they only survive. Others are very much affected by the onslaughts, the attacks of Maya, and vanish sooner or later. So this thing is very essential. So these are some of the gifts which He has initially given us. These are the blessings. And He says, my dear children, I have come from the soul world to bless you. This sentence is repeated times out of number in Murlis. Ever since Baba descended for the first time in Brahma Baba, He has been saying this. Children, you do not know what you can have from me. You, even your inheritance, you did not know. What is my property, you did not know. So I have come because you did not know, and you are my children, I love you, and I therefore want to give you that kind of inheritance, my property you, because father's property is for the children. Father's property is for the children, and I have come to bless you that property, that inheritance. Now this is what he says. But the question is, are we really blessed? Baba says, I have come to bless you. And it is very true. We didn't know him. We didn't know the time. We didn't know what property he has. We didn't even know our own real identity. We were under the impression that we know so much. But we were ignoramus. We were totally ignorant fools, knowing nothing. So Baba has been telling us all these things. And he says, I have come to bless you. Dear children, do you listen? Do you really listen? I have come to bless you. Then have you attained those blessings? The question arises that the first type of blessings, namely knowledge, yoga, virtues, now we are aware of them. That was the first step, to be aware of them. How valuable, how essential, how necessary they are for our progress, for our peace and happiness. But after that, have we been getting blessings? He has so much to give. So much to give. So much to give, I say. Only we are tired of getting it. He is never tired of giving. Are we getting His blessings? So that is the main question. Especially when He says, I have come to bless you. And even the very spiritual birth which we have. How does the birth take place? Even our worldly or physical birth, it is the parents who give the birth. And the spiritual birth, which we have, our new life, is given to us by God, the Mother Father. Without that, this spiritual birth would not be possible. This very spiritual birth is because of Him. So this is the first blessing which He has given us. And when we are His children, we deserve His property. It is our birthright. Now, just put on a piece of paper these two things side by side or one over the other. One is that he says, I have come to bless you. And we say, we are your children and we are blessing our birthright. But where are the birthright? Have we been able to get the birthright? Someone said, he is my father-in-law and he is my brother-in-law and he is my son-in-law and she is my daughter-in-law and so on. But he said, where is the law? He is your father-in-law, he is your mother-in-law, he is your son-in-law. But where is the law? In this world there is no law. So how are you father-in-law and mother-in-law? You see. Now in this case he says that I have come to bless you. And I say that it is my birthright to be blessed. But where are the blessings? Have I been really blessed? Certain talents have flowered in me. And I have really been illumined. The darkness has totally vanished. I feel that I am out of the tunnel. Or I feel that I am perfectly in peace. There is inner harmony in me. Or whatever are his gifts or blessings, I am attaining them. You see. If that feeling is not there, then I say, where are the blessings? Have I been able to get it? Now in other religions, people have been saying other things. For example, when you go to Christianity, they say Christ sacrificed his life. He got crucified. He was put on the cross because he wanted to save man from the sin. For the sins of man, he got that kind of crucifixion. And Muslims say, and he said, they don't recognize me. My father, forgive them because they know me not. That is what he said. And in the case of Muslims, they say, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Through the intervention of Muhammad, you will be liberated. Now in the first case, they say man will be liberated because Christ sacrificed for the sake of mankind. In the second case, they say, now man will be liberated if he goes through Muhammad, because Muhammad is the prophet of God, and through that prophet of God, they can be saved. And Buddha said, each one of you be lamp unto yourself. Now he didn't say like the former two, like Muhammad or like Christ. He said, each one of you be lamp unto yourself. Now, Baba takes the responsibility. Baba says, no kind of prophet, not being crucified. I am the lamp. I have come to illumine you. I take your responsibility. I take you across. Leave it to me. You are my tiny tots, my small children. I don't want to put you into a lot of trouble. I take this responsibility on me. Again and again in the Gita it is mentioned, I save you. Don't worry, don't worry. Whatever you be, whatever the stage of your mind, I will liberate you. Now he takes his full responsibility. And for that responsibility, he is not asking us only to perform efforts, to depend totally upon ourselves. He says, no, I will also help you. My grace be on you. My blessing on you. I love you. I really love you. And out of that love, I will give you so much, provided you are prepared to get it. Now, when the child has got the birth, the baby, and the father says, baby, baby, come here, baby, baby, come here. The baby, on the legs which are infirm, he goes towards the father. There is a response of love, because he recognizes. Now, if we want blessings, are we going nearer to God? We say, we are children of God. And God says, I am your father. He says, children, children, my babies, not even children, my babies. Baby is better than children, you know. Children are asked to do something, but baby is required to do nothing. Everything the parents will do. All right, let us be babies, innocent babies. And he says, come to me, come to me. And we don't go to him. Then how can he take us in his lap? on his shoulders and kiss us and caress us and hug us. How can he be gracious to us? We have to move towards him. At least this response of love towards him should be there. And this is what he expects in order to bless us. And he says, I was talking of lamps. That Buddha said, each one of you be lamp unto yourself. Now Baba says, he also gives an anecdote of lamps, that like Aladdin lamp. And he says, new lamps for the old. New lamps for the old. You give me your old lamp, I will give you the new lamp. He says, Matta Satta. You give me your old sanskaras, I will give you the new ones. You give me all your foolishness, I will give you complete wisdom. You give me your vices, and I will give you purity. So he says, can you exchange it for me? I will give you much, much better things, which are eternal, everlasting, and full of happiness, which will bring or shower on you all the things which you require, which you ask for. But are you able to give me, are you prepared to give me this bad thing, rubbish, refuse, whatever you have with you? Now, but what do we say? We say, because if we want blessings, there is no taking without giving. You have to give something. Then only you can ask for something. When you give little seed, sow a little seed in the earth gives you the crop. It gives you much more, many times more, million times more. But at least you have to sow the seed. If you don't sow the seed, how can you want the crop? So God's blessings are like the crop, and you have to sow the seed. But if you are not willing to sow the seed, how can you expect the crop? Now, what do I mean by sowing the seed? Now, Baba says, ask for certain things. But we say that we have nothing. There is a story of Satyanarayana, Satyanarayana Katha, Satyanarayana's parable in the old scriptures. A big merchant was carrying on his head a load of diamonds, gold, other precious things. And there was a man looking like an ordinary person, ordinary human being. He was Satyanarayana, God in an ordinary form. They say God in an ordinary form was going side by side, and this man was carrying on his head a load of these precious metals. And God said, what are you carrying? What is in this? He said, nothing. Then God said, so it be, so it be. You see. So there was nothing. And when God says, you give your money, your time, your energy for the transformation of the world, what do I say? I have no time. I have no money. I have no physical energy. I can't do anything. So be it. You see. It is that Satyanarayana Katha. If you have nothing, you have nothing, you have nothing, everything, you have nothing, then how do you want something? Something can come out of something. Something cannot come out of nothing. You see. Only nothing comes out of nothing. So if you say nothing, only nothing will come out of it. You see. A rabbit only will come from a rabbit. You see. Nothing else. A cat cannot come from the rabbit. So what you are asking for? God says, and you say, I have no money. Even then he says, doesn't matter. If you have no money, you are a poor person. If you can't give anything for the welfare, well-being of human beings, for the creation of the new world, don't worry. You see. You are telling God that you are a poor person. God already knows it. You see. You are telling him what he already knows it. You think that he is not Trikaldarshi. He does not know you. He knows all others excepting you. You see. What plea you are making? You are pleading yourself, saying, I have no money. He says, even if you have no money, doesn't matter. Can you give time? No, I have no time. All right. You don't have any time? No, I have no time. Then, can you do something, some physical work? No, I am an old person, an infirm person. My body is ailing and I can't do any physical thing. So that also you can't do. No, I can't do that. Then what does he say? Even then he says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Children, you don't worry. If you have no time, no money, no energy, you can't do anything. He does not say, so be it. Because he does not want to curse. Even so, he wants to bless. He says, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Still I love you. You are very dear to me, very near to me. I really love you. Then what should I do? What is to be done? I say, my father, oh God, I am worried. Baba, I am worried. What will be my fate? I have neither. Now you have come at a time when I am poor. I can't spend money. And when I am working in an office where my boss keeps me until late hours, I can't have any time. So I am tired at the end of the day. When I come back, I have to do so many other things. So I have no energy left. Baba says, don't worry. There is one thing which you can give. For that you can make no excuse. You have that thing. Maybe that you don't have time, money and energy. But you have mind. Give your mind to me. You see. Give your mind to me. And I say, oh, I can't give my mind to you. Because I cannot concentrate my mind. That is my problem. This is what is said in the Gita. God asking Arjuna to give this, that and the other thing. And finally asking him, Manmanabhav, put your mind on me, you see. And he said, but this is the problem. The main problem is that I can't concentrate my mind on you. You are asking me to do something which is impossible for me, you see. Ask me for other thing which I can do. This is something which I cannot do. My mind is like air, I can't control it. It is vagabond. It is wandering. You see, it is very sportive. Like a monkey which is drunk and strung by a scorpion, moving from branch to branch. You see, that is the condition of my mind. I can't control it. You see, how can I concentrate on you? He says, that also you can't do. Oh, I can't do that. Still he says, don't worry. You see. Even then he says, don't worry. Then what should I do? Because this is something which gives me worry. And he says, don't worry. No, I can't give up my worry. I can't give up my mind. You see. So what to do? What to do? He says, all right, my dear child, is so simple, so important, so valuable. It is the brightest jewel of wisdom, brightest jewel of knowledge. One formula he tells us for our spiritual effort, the golden rule, the most important thing, the turning point in our life. He says, you only from the bottom of your heart, if the heart has a bottom, but that is how they say, from the bottom of a heart. I have never found the bottom of the heart. Maybe that somebody did it and said from the bottom of the heart. They say it is deeper than the ocean. But they have now explored the ocean, but perhaps not the bottom of the mind, you see. So, from the very depth of your heart, let me say, you say, Baba, you are mine. Baba, you are mine. Can you say this? Can you believe this? Can you feel this? Can you have that kind of a stability of your mind in this thought? Baba, you are mine. Is there any denying this truth? God is our Father. We are His children. This is the most fundamental truth. Without there cannot be any existence. All right, let us have a debate. Without this, can there be existence? You cannot prove even the existence of this material world. Unless and until you believe in the existence of this. Descartes, for example, said, I think, therefore I am. Cogito ergo sum. He said, I think, therefore I am. You see. That is a fundamental philosophy, the Western philosophy. Nowadays they condemn They say Cartesian philosophy, Cartesian philosophy. All going towards monism. But actually it is a fact. I think, therefore I am. You see. Can you deny this? So if I am, then what am I? That is the basic question. That shows the existence. So there is no denying this fact that I exist, God exists. God is my Father. So can't I feel in the depth of my mind, my heart, that Baba, you are mine. If I can only do this, you will find that there is transformation in my life. Don't do anything. You can't give money. You can't give time. You can't give energy. You see. You can't concentrate your mind on Baba. Only just in an ecstatic mood think. You see. Be totally caught up with this idea. You see. Let the idea catch you or you catch the idea either way. You see. Or both of you catch each other. The idea catches you and you catch the idea. Okay, both are good. You see. And you say, Baba, you are mine. And you will feel, you will hear a whisper, the divine whisper, you see, child, I am thine. This will be the immediate response. We have been writing letters to God, sending messages to God, praying to God, invoking Him, birth after birth, life after life, without any response from God. Because all our letters, all our communications were wrongly addressed. So, the postman could not deliver any of our letters. They were returned to the sender, you see. All our prayers have been coming back. Now, when we know God and we know the address, and we address ourselves to Him in the proper way, Baba, you are mine. And Baba will say, you will be able to hear very clearly. I tell you very clearly. Very, very clearly. I am thine. I am yours. And if Baba is yours, all His property is yours. Don't you understand? If Baba is yours, all His property is yours. So you understand the meaning of I am yours. When you say Baba is mine, you understand the meaning of it. The words are very simple, but there is a lot of depth in it. What do I mean by saying Baba, I am mine? And His saying I am yours. We'll talk about it later. But at this point of time, let us understand that at least we can do this. If we can't do anything else, we can do this. And I think when we do this, we will have all the blessings, all the gifts, all His grace on us, all His blessings on us, provided we say it with sincerity, with a deep feeling, an inner feeling, not just in an ordinary way, just sometimes we say certain things, wearing masks, in our mind there is something different, but we speak something different, but with our mind and our heart and our soul, if we say this, Baba, you are mine, and we get the response, my dear child, I am yours, then the whole problem is solved. It is like the equation of Einstein, E is equal to mc square, you see, the theory of relativity, all summed up in this equation. If we have this equation before us, Baba, you are mine, and Baba says, I am yours, all the problem is solved. QED, you see. And what happens is that sometimes we feel that even this is difficult. We say, Baba, 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 like a baby. Baby is allowed to say Baba many number of times, you see. So therefore I said we better call ourselves, think ourselves babies. There is an anecdote of a bhakta, you see. That bhakta, the devotee, he said, my Lord, you don't know. My Lord, you don't know. My Lord, you don't know. Again and again he said, you don't know. Then he explained to God. He said, I am the vilest sinner. The most sinful that can be. I am worse than that. My sanskaras are so bad, so bad. I am worse than Ajamal, worse than Ganika. I am so much fallen, so much polluted is my mind. I am degraded, a rotten fellow. My mind is so bad, you see. So you are asking me to do too high things, trying to make me a philosopher, asking me to do this, to do that, and so on. He said, people say you are gracious, you are kind, you are merciful, you are loving. This is what the people say, but that is not my experience, because up till now you have not been gracious to me, kind to me. I am again going down and down, you see, day by day. My condition is deteriorating, not improving even a little bit. So he said, I am worried. But I am not worried more about myself. I am worried about you. He said, oh God, I am worried about you. Why he is worried about God? He said, you have a great reputation. People glorify you. You have great name and fame. You are a very, 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 very well-known person in this world because of your qualities. And they say God can do anything. He can do miracles, you see. So much they talk of your powers, of your qualities, of your might. But if you can't change me, they will say there was at least one man whom even God could not change. So my worry is that they will defame you, you see. Oh God, they will defame you. You will lose your reputation, you see. So that is the problem. If I am not saved, doesn't matter, there are maybe some others also who are not saved. But if you don't save me, people may perhaps give up adoring you, praising you, singing hymns for you. So I say, you save me and you be gracious to me. Because there is hard crust of so many lives, of karmic account, of evil, of maya, settled on the soul. I can't break that. There must be some kind of a blast, something very powerful which pierces through it, so that the soul can have the original shine. So he said this in pathetic words. And then he said, you appear before me. You appear before me. You appear before me. Why don't you listen? Why don't you appear before me? So, and the response was, even if you are the vilest, the most sinful, the most degraded, the one who has the most vicious sanskaras, even then he said, don't worry, don't worry. These are the words of God, of Baba, always. Don't worry. Children, don't worry. He gives us so much of solace, so much of peace, so many comforting words. He says, don't worry. I am with you. I am here to serve you. The only thing is, you surrender yourself to me. You surrender yourself to me. So unless and until we surrender ourselves to him, he says, Maam ekam sharanam braj, ma shucha. Don't worry. I will save you. I will take you across. I will liberate you. I will redeem you. I will purify you. I will do everything for your salvation. But you surrender yourself to me. Can you do that? As I said earlier, Baba, you are mine. I am thine. If you can, this is surrender, you see. If this kind of a rapport could be established, then the whole problem is solved. And even if you can't do that, you do not know how to surrender. You do not know how to concentrate the mind. You do not know how to purify yourself. You have no money, no time, no energy, nothing, you see. Then, when you say, I am thine, you are mine, can you be faithful? Can you be faithful to God? Can you be loyal to him? Can you be, your loyalty be towards him and him alone? If you can do that, even among animals there are certain species which are very faithful to their masters. Take the case of elephant. Like dogs, dogs also are very faithful. Even recently there was the story of there was something from Japan that a dog in Tokyo daily went to the railway station with his master. The master went to his job, and after seeing of the master at the railway platform, the dog daily used to come back. And one day the master went by the train and the dog came back as usual. So in the evening he again used to go to receive his master, and when he went, the master didn't come up. So the second day again he went up, the third day again he went up. He went up for many days and the master did not return. So he thought, this is no life, I can't live without my master. It yelled and cried and was so sad and ultimately died. My master has died, he thought, and I must die. My life without him is nothing. So we have heard so many stories about the loyalty, the faithfulness, God's loyalty towards his master. What about our loyalty towards our master? His master's voice. So, I say, cannot we be even loyal, that much faithful to God? I know nothing. Okay. The one thing which I can have, even one thing which can get God so many blessings on me, is my loyalty, my faithfulness to him. But what does it mean? Someone said, I believe in the Gita. The other one said, I believe in the Bible. I accept the Gita. I accept the Bible. You accept the Gita? Yes, I accept the Gita. But the question is not you accept the Gita. The main question is, do you accept the teachings of Gita? You see, in the Gita it is said, be viceless, give up sex, lust, anger and greed. So you agree with the teachings of Gita? In Hindi they say, main Gita ko manta hun, which means I accept the commands of Gita, commandments of Gita. But someone asked, parantu Gita ki mante ho, but do you accept the commandments of Gita, you see, in your practical life? So when you say Baba is mine, and do you understand its meaning, that you have to obey his teachings, you have to be faithful, to be loyal to him. When you say he is our most beloved father, most beloved teacher, most beloved preceptor, what do you mean by mine? Explain this word mine. Possessive case, singular gender, singular number, this feminine or masculine gender, this first person, word mine. Baba, God is mine. God is my father, my mother, my teacher, my preceptor. That is why I say he is mine. So if it is all that, then do you accept him as your teacher? Do you accept his teachings? So if you accept his teachings and are faithful or loyal to him, then all his blessings will be on you, you see. So that is the thing which we are supposed to do in order to get God's blessings. And Baba says, what are his teachings? Daily we listen to Murlis. But in order to get blessings, he says, do three things. One is the vibrations, the vritti. Change your vritti. Vritti means the outlook, the attitude, the intention of your mind. Your motive should be good. No ill or evil intention. And positive outlook and attitude in life. This is positive vritti. Yoga is nothing but the change of vritti, control of vritti. This is the very first aphorism of the treatise on Gita by Patanjali. Yoga is chitta vritti nirodha. Yoga is the control on our vrittis, our outlook, our attitude, our intention, the modification of our mind, you see. So he says, change the vritti. And vritti changes the vayumandal. That is the atmosphere. This vritti, this change in vritti will change the atmosphere, vayumandal. The atmosphere will be changed. On the other hand, I say, Baba, I want to change, but the atmosphere around me is bad. The people with whom I have to work at my workplace, the relatives with whom I live, you see, the neighbors which I have, they are not good people. So my submission is that my atmosphere, my environment is not good. Whereas Baba says that your environment or your atmosphere will change by your vrittis. Vritti will change it. So vritti and vayumandal. And then Baba says vibrations. Give good vibrations. Can you do this? So by changing, for changing vrittis, he says don't hate anybody. Always think good of others. Be well-wisher for all. There is a saying, someone went to a shopkeeper, a poor man, a beggar. He went to a shop and he said, can you give me some sugar? He said, oh, go and do your work and earn your money. It can't be free. It can't be given for nothing. So he said this in a very rough language and with a great rebuke to the man. So the beggar, the man said, if you can't give me sugar, at least speak sweet words to me. You see, sugar costs something, but the sweet words don't cost anything. If you are not willing to give a little bit of sugar to me, I am a poor man. At least you are not so poor that you can't give me some sweet words. So, but even if you can't do anything else, you see, give your sweet vibrations, loving vibrations, harmonious vibrations, peaceful vibrations, you see, pure vibrations, and have pure vritti. This will change the atmosphere. Actually, it is the vibrations. What is our speech? Speech is the translation of our vibrations. It is the vibrations changed into words. And suppose someone is sitting by our side. He is not speaking to us. So we do not know what type of man he is. But don't we sometimes feel that this man is not good? We tell others that this man is not good. They say, but how do you know? I say from the vibrations. His vibrations were not good, you see. So it is the vibrations which speak, provided I understand that language. But even if I don't understand the language, I understand the law that vibrations change the atmosphere, they affect the atmosphere. So from that point of view, I am the creator of the atmosphere. Let me understand that I am creating the atmosphere by means of my vibrations. Good or bad, it depends upon my thoughts. Either I am polluting it or I am purifying it. So let the vibrations of purity, of love, honesty, harmony be there. So this is another important truth in spiritual knowledge which I must remember. It is, I create atmosphere. Not that the atmosphere will affect me, because this is a big complaint. Very often we say that the atmosphere is bad, little realizing that it is our vibrations which affect the atmosphere, and therefore we can change the atmosphere if we change our vibrations. If someone makes noise, for example, what happens? There is disturbance in the atmosphere. I say, please keep quiet. Don't make this much noise, you see. You know, it tells upon our nervous system, upon our brain, upon our audience, organs of, the ears. In fact, on the whole body, it has a jarring effect. Something will affects our health. So it affects, everyone knows noise pollution, they call it, you know. So we are making lot of noise. We are not speaking, not shouting, not talking on the top of our voice, but still disturbing. Noise is there in our mind. When there is traffic on the road, so many vehicles plying on the road at the peak hours, it is office time or shopping time, start of the office or closing of the office, there is a lot of rush, so many vehicles and giving up smoke and making noise, the atmosphere is disturbed. So it is disturbed. Similarly, so many thoughts in our mind, the vehicle of thoughts, the traffic in our mind, that is disturbing, so much of traffic. One thought falling upon another, crushing into, bumping into the other thought. Like one person's car bumps into another. So there are many accidents. We are daily doing so many accidents because of our thoughts. And so many accidents taking place in our own mind. At 120 miles per hour is our traffic of thoughts, you see. So fast, so that if one vehicle hits another, another hits another, another and another. A series of accidents, you see. So is the thought so quick in our mind, and all the time there are thoughts. Never do we sit alone with ourselves, peacefully, calmly, quietly. No traffic. Just think of that Amrit Vela where there are no factories working or no vehicles plying on the roads. People are yet asleep, no noise, very calm and quiet. And how much is the whole atmosphere congenial for our practice? For silencing our mind. This is silencing. Similarly, silencing the mind, you see, is very essential, silencing the mind. Very refreshing, re-energizing, giving us creative intelligence, developing our intuitive powers, and giving us that kind of wisdom, making us able to realize certain things, which we can't realize because of the helter-skelter and great voiceness of the traffic of our thoughts. So that silencing is essential. Otherwise, like the dust and smoke and noise on the roads, there is so much of dust and noise and movement in our mind. We become tired, you see. Always driving, you see. Someone driving, not resting, not sitting quiet, not being with ourselves. Many images, many pictures, like a movie, you see, projecting certain pictures on the screen, those pictures going on one after the other in a very rapid way. Similarly, so many people appear on the screen of our mind, one after the other. We think of them, we see them, we talk to them, even in our dreams, except they say in our deep sleep. That rapid eye movement, you know, when the person is dreaming, his eyes move. The doctors have seen, his eyes move very rapidly. That is different kind of sleep when a person is not refreshed after sleep, because his mind is very active, his brain is very active. But there is very little time when a person actually sleeps. And I think, perhaps, and they say, that even in dream, and even when in deep sleep, the deep sleep is not perfectly deep. There is little bit of movement, little bit of action of the brain. So all the time action is going on. And therefore, the person is not relaxed, not refreshed, not feeling light, not feeling energy. So if we have this, in dreams, how many things you see? Even the things and the persons which we have not seen in this life. You visit places, see buildings, meet people whom we have not come across with in this life. So that also shows our reincarnation, but that is a different point. What I mean to say is that when we stop thinking of the present world, then we begin to stop thinking of the world which we saw in our past lives, even in dreams, you see. Never is our mind without this traffic. This is what we are supposed to reduce now, our traffic. And we have our traffic control on certain fixed timings during the day, just before sleep, from the morning when we get up till we go to our bed. We already have certain timings which we observe as traffic control, but that is the minimum. Let us not think that these are the hours of for points of time for traffic control. Besides that, we can have our own daily routine, fix up certain timings, maybe 3 minutes per every hour, 2 minutes per every hour, maybe 1 minute after every half an hour, when we should have traffic control. Go into deep peace. Go back to the soul world. Be completely in silence. Have no other thought. Relax. And then come into action. Again and again Baba says we should do this drill. Then only we can be detached from the body and have this kind of a practice. And I was saying earlier that we are small babies. Baba is our mother and father, like the baby. As I was saying now, that we should go back to the soul world, or when the baby, for example, or the small child goes to the school, Mama, Mama, I am going to school. Mama, Mama, going to school. Daddy, Daddy, I have come back from the school. You see, always thinking of mother and father, that small baby. They are very much in his mind. Similarly, we should keep some kind of conversation with Baba. Baba, Baba, I am going to my office. You see, Baba, Baba, I am writing a draft. I want to write a letter. Okay, okay, child, go on, go ahead. You see, like I find in foreign countries, this method is not yet come here very much. Taxi drivers having their telephone, by means of which they keep in touch with their control room. John, I am passing through that road, this road, you know, keeping in touch. It's night time, so many accidents take place. So in order to keep in touch with their control office, every 3, 4, 5 minutes, whenever I went in a taxi, I find the driver speaking to the control room, keeping in touch. So also, let us keep in touch with Baba and Mama, God, our mother and father, you see. So that will enable us to have that kind of link. And then, when we just become little babies, innocent small babies, children, then they say we have what is called in Hindi, Hujjat. 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 Remember this word, Hindi word, Hujjat. I do not know how exactly to translate this into various languages, but I will explain to you what it means. It has a number of meanings in different contexts, but I will just talk to you about one or two major meanings of it. Now, a king may have Hujjat. When a king orders for something, you see, even if it may be rational or irrational or whatever, king's command is king's command. It must be fulfilled. It must be done. So, a king's command is a Hujjat. He says, go and bring my horse. So, someone has to go and bring the horse. You see. So, this is king's Hujjat. And then, they say the child's Hujjat. The child says, Daddy, on the next Monday is my birthday. And on birthday, I want to have this particular gift. You must get that gift to me. You see. This is his Hujjat. He orders his father. And his orders is not like the command of the king. Because he is not a ruler of a state. But he can rule his father. Because he loves him. So his Hujjat is based on his love. King's Hujjat is based on his majestic status, you know, the status of being the majesty. But in this case, the child commands his father or mother to give him that particular gift on such and such day. I want my own car, my motorcycle, my new TV set, or whatever he says. This is what I want on my coming birthday. I have to celebrate, you see. So the father can't say no. Out of love, out of the love of mother and father, he fulfills that desire of the son. So that is the Hujjat. Similarly, the yogi is Hujjat. If the yogi, real yogi, who is pure, loyal, faithful, obedient, sincere, honest, and devoted to Baba, pure yogi, and he has not broken any promises, true to his words, yogi in real terms, you know. He says, oh God, you have to do this, you see, in his mind. This must be done. Even I have heard number of times, Sakar Baba, Baba will do this. And it happened. Baba never said no. Shiv Baba never said no. And Baba said, I am his murabbi child. His words were, main uska murabbi bachcha hun. I am his murabbi child. Murabbi child means his very beloved child. You see. He loves me so much. Brahma Baba loved Shiv Baba so much. And Shiv Baba loved Brahma so much. I do not know how much, who loved more than, more out of these two. But both really loved so much. Baba's face changed. The curves on his face changed. His eyes became wet. And certain other kinds of curves appeared on his face when he talked of Baba. His face turned towards him and his eyes became wet. And with deep feeling of love when he said, it really gave the impression that he really loves. And we found that whatever he said, it happened. I have never come across something which he really said from the depth of his heart and it didn't happen. He said, even if I go wrong sometimes, if some child comes to me, consults me on some matter, maybe that in my human way, you see, I give something wrong. What I was saying was that Baba said, if someone comes to consult me on certain matters, and if I give him sometimes an advice which is not, totally that befits him, or totally solves the problem, and there is some shortage in it, shortcoming in it, then also Shiv Baba helps. He fills up the gap. With his own support, he gives a success. To the person who consulted me, thinking that I am the medium, I speak for God, and if that advice given by me is not perfect, lacks in something, then Baba fulfills it. He somehow tries to fill the gap. So this is what happened. It was because of his love. And that other particular covenant between him and him, because both loved each other so much. So what I was saying was that a yogi, a true yogi, the definition is, of a true yogi, you all know. It has been said number of times. Baba very often has been giving in avyakt murlis and in sakar vanis. Who is a true yogi? How he speaks? What is his behavior? What is his drishti and vritti? What is his attitude? How his mind is stabilized? How harmonious he is? What kind of qualities he has? And so on. If a true yogi with his strong will thinks of something, it must happen. It must happen. Whatever the obstacles in the way, they cannot stand. Because God is with him. Therefore, Baba asks us also, children, I am with you. But in fact, we forget that he is with us. Whenever we remember Baba is with us, Baba comes to our help. But sometimes we leave Baba behind, sometimes we are left behind. We say Baba is with us, but how far away from us, you see. That is really what matters. If Baba is really with us, then he certainly helps us. So this is another kind of hujjat I was saying, hujjat of the yogis. So when we become children, we have this kind of a realization, feeling, this kind of an attitude towards Shiv Baba, that my relationship with him as of a child to a father, then what happens is that he blesses me. So there are certain other things to be said. We'll perhaps continue in our other sessions, something about blessings and something besides it. But since I have spent my time, I would like to close here. Thank you. Om Shanti.
All the secrets we come to understand.